Welcome to Zichud Daf Siman Mem by Avram Goldar, and today we're Maseches Yuma Daf Lamed Aleph, the third parak Amar Lehem Amamuna. So the three topics we're going to focus on: number one, the Mishnah Daf Lamed Amud Aleph taught Chamesh Tefilas Va'asar Kedushin Tovu Kol Galah Mekadosh Bo B'Yom. The Kohen Gadol performs 5 immersions and 10 sanctifications on the day of Yom Kippur. V'chulon v'kodesh al beis ha'parva chutz mezol bilvad. And all these tefillos are in the Kodesh, referring to the Azara, atop the beis ha'parva, except for this first one only. The Gemara here brings up Rice that teaches that the first tefillah was b'chol, an unsanctified area, al gabi shar ha'mayim u'betzad lishkas ha'isa, atop the water gate, and it was located on the side of the Kohen Gadol's lishka. Even though the area under the gate had the Kedush of the Azara, the chamber above it that housed the mikveh did not, because the roofs of the Azara did not possess the Kedusha of the Azara. Abai said we can deduce from here that Ein Eitam is a little more than 23 amos higher than the floor of the Azara. Rashi explains that Ein Eitam is a spring that supplied water via canals to the mikveh used by the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur. We learned earlier that all the gates of the temple, except for the Ulam, were 20 amos high. Since the mikveh on top of the gate was 3 amos high, it must be that Ein Eitam was slightly more than 23 amos higher than the Azara floor. Pointing to the Mishnah state, Persu Sadin Shabuz Beino Levina Am, they spread a linen sheet between the Kohen Gadol and the people when he immersed. The Gemara asks what's unique about a sheet made of linen, and answers that it's in order Shiyanka Shiavodas Yom Bevigde Butz, so the Kohen Gadol will realize that the special service of the day is performed with linen begadim. Pointing between the next Mishnah states, Pashit Yor V'Tavol, the Kohen Gadol undressed, descended into the mikveh, immersed, Alav Nistapag, ascended, and dried himself. They brought him the big days of, and he put them on, V'kidish Yad V'Raglav, and he sanctified his hands and his feet. A group of Rabbanim said in the presence of the Rebbe, Rav Papa, that the Mishnah, which does not require 2 sanctifications for the first immersion, does not go according to Rebbe Meir, since he said that the Kohen Gadol performs 2 sanctifications each time he puts on new begadim. Rav Papa said that even Rebbe Meir would not require 2 washings here, since he learns a hekesh between pshita and levisha, removing the garments and donning the garments, just as the Kohen Gadol washes after he dons the new begadim, so too he washes after he removes the used begadim. The Rabbanim bring an explicit proof to Rav Papa from a brisa that Rebbe Meir holds that the Kohen Gadol does wash after he removes his big day chol, and then washes again when he dons the big day zav for the first time, so our Mishnah is not like Rebbe Meir. The Gemara goes on to clarify that according to the Rabbanim, who argue with Rebbe Meir, and hold the Kohen Gadol only washed once when donning the big day zav for the first time, the 10th washing was performed when he removed his big day zav for the last time before he donned his big day chol. So once again, the 3 points are: number 1, the Mishnah on Daf Lamed Amud Aleph taught Chamesh Tefilas Va'asar Kedushin Tovu Kol Galu Mekadosh Bo B'Yom. The Kohen Gadol performs 5 immersions and 10 sanctifications on the day of Yom Kippur. V'chulam v'kodesh al beis ha'parva chutz mezol bilvad. And all the tefillos are in the Kodesh, referring to the Azar atop the beis ha'parva, except for this one only. The Gemara here brings a brice that teaches that the first tefillah was b'chol, an unsanctified area, al gabi shar ha'mayim b'tzad lishkaso ha'isa, atop the water gate, and it was located on the side of the Kohen Gadol's lishka. Even though the area under the gate had the Kedusha of the Azara, the chamber above it that housed the mikveh did not, because the roofs of the Azara did not possess Kedusha of the Azara. Abai said we can deduce from here that Ein Eitam is a little more than 23 amos higher than the floor of the Azara. Rashi explains that Ein Eitam is a spring that supplied water via canals to the mikveh used by the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur. We learned earlier that all the gates of the temple, except for the Ulam, were 20 amos high. Since the mikvah on top of the gate was 3 amos high, it must be that Ein Eitam was slightly more than 23 amos higher than the Azara floor. Point number 2, the Mishnah stated, Persu Sadin Shalbutz Beino Levena'am. They spread a linen sheet between the Kohen Gadol and the people when he immersed. The Gemara asks, what's unique about a sheet made of linen? And answers, that's an order Shiyanka Shavodas Yom Bevigde Butz. So the Kohen Gadol will realize that the special service of the day is performed with linen, begadim. And point number 3, the next Mishnah states, Pashit Yor V'Tavol, the Kohen Gadol undressed, descended into the mikveh, immersed, Alav Nistapag, ascended and dried himself. They brought him the big days of, and he put them on, V'Kidish Yadav V'Raglav, and he sanctified his hands and his feet. A group of Rabban said in the presence of the Rebbe, Rav Papa, that the Mishnah, which does not require 2 sanctifications for the first immersion, does not go according to Rebbe Meir, since he said that the Kohen Gadol performs 2 sanctifications each time he puts on new begadim. Rav Papa said that even Rebbe Meir would not require 2 washings here, since he learns a hekesh between pshita and levisha, removing the garments and donning the garments. Just as the Kohen Gadol washes after he dons the new begadim, so too he washes after he removes the used begadim. The Rabbanim bring an explicit proof to Rav Papa from a brisa that Rebbe Meir holds that the Kohen Gadol does wash after he removes his big day chol, and then washes again when he dons the big day zahav for the first time, so our Mishnah is not like Rebbe Meir. The Gemara goes on to clarify that according to the Rabbanim, who argue with Rabbi Meir and hold the Kohen got only washed once when donning the Big Day Zahav for the first time, the 10th washing was performed when he removed his Big Day Zahav for the last time before he donned his Big Day Chol. All right, so now we go to our Simfer Daf Lamed Aleph, and our standard Simfer is related to the word law. We use a judge. A judge. So here goes. The judge from Ein Etam who dropped his gavel on the canal that led to the mikvah on the Shar HaMayim watched in horror as it sailed down and ripped through the linen sheet, just as the Kohen Gadol finished putting on his Big Day Zahav and did his first washing. So once again, the judge, that must mean we're on Daf Lamed Aleph. The judge from Ein Etam who dropped his gavel on the canal that led to the mikvah on the Shar HaMayim, which reminds the Mishnah Daf Lamed Amud Aleph taught that all the tefillos of the Kohen Gadol are in the Kodesh, referring to the Azor, atop the base of Parva, except for the first one. The Gemara here brings a brace that teaches that the first tefillah was Bechol, an unsanctified area, Agabi Shar HaMayim Ubitzad Lishkaso Haisa, atop the water gate, and it was located on the side of the Kohen Gadol's Lishka. Abai said we can deduce from here that Ein Etam is a little more than 23 amas higher than the floor of the Azor. Rashi explains that Ein Etam is a spring that supplied water via canals to the mikveh used by the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur. We learned earlier that all the gates of the temple except for the Ulam were 20 amos high. Since the mikveh on top of the gate was 3 amos high, it must be that Ein Etam was slightly more than 23 amos higher than the Azora floor. So the judge from Ein Etam who dropped his gavel in the canal that led to the mikveh on the Shar HaMayim watched in horror as it sailed down and ripped through the linen sheet. Which reminds the Mishnah stated, Persu Sadin Shel Boots Bein Ola Bein Ha'am, they spread a linen sheet between the Kohen Gadol and the people when he immersed. The Gemara asks what's unique about a sheet made of linen and answers that it's in order that the Kohen Gadol will realize that the special service of the day is performed with linen begadim. So the judge from Ein Etam who dropped his gavel in the canal that led to the mikveh on the Shar HaMayim watched in horror as it sailed down and ripped through the linen sheet, just as the Kohen Gadol finished putting on his Big Day Zahav and did his first washing. Which reminds the next Mishnah states, the Kohen Gadol undressed, descended into the mikveh, immersed, ascended, and dried himself. They brought on the Big Day Zahav and he put them on, Bikidesh Yadav Raglav, and he sanctified his hands and his feet. A group of Rabban said in the presence of the Rebbe Rav Papa that the Mishnah, which does not require two sanctifications for the first immersion, does not go according to Rabbi Meir, since he said that the Kohen Gadol performs two sanctifications each time he puts on new begadim. Rav Papa said Rabbi Meir would not require two washings, but has brought explicit proof from a brisa that states he does require two washings. The Gemara goes on to clarify that according to the Rabbanan, who argue with Rabbi Meir and hold the Kohen Gadol only washed once when donning the Big Day Zahav for the first time, the 10th washing was performed when he removed his Big Day Zahav for the last time before he donned his Big Day Chol. So once again, the judge from Ein Etam who dropped his gavel in the canal that led to the mikvah on the Shar HaMayim watched in horror as it sailed down and ripped through the linen sheet, just as the Kohen Gadol finished putting on his Big Day Zahav and did his first washing. All right, now it's time for a 4-blot back Chazorah. Dav Chav Zayin. So the Simmer Dav Chav Zayin is a kazoo. A kazoo, so here goes. The children who joyously blew their kazoos, that must mean we're on Dav Chav Zayin. The children who joyously blew their kazoos when they saw their non-Kohen Tati skin and dismember an offering, which reminds the Gemara brings a brice on the bottom Dav Chav Vav Amud Beis that teaches regarding a personal offering, Hebshetim Bin Yituch and Shavim Bizar. Their skinning and dismemberment are equal in that they may be performed by a Zar. Chizkiya brings initial source of this ruling, but it's refuted, and after several attempts to identify the source, the Gemara concludes that it's from the following pasuk concerning the burning of the limbs of an ola, the hikter hakohen es hakol, and the kohen shall cause it all to go up in smoke. What does the superfluous mention of a kohen come to teach? Lamute hepshe v'nituch, to exclude flaying and dismemberment from the requirement to have a kohen perform it. So the children who joyously blew their kazoos when they saw their non-kohen tati, skin and dismember an offering, were hushed by 6 kohanim carrying parts of the tamid, which reminds the Gemara expounds the following pasuk regarding the ola offering. Varchu b'nei Aaron ha-Kohanim, they shall arrange the sons of Aaron the Kohanim, they shall arrange implies to, the sons of Aaron implies to, Kohanim implies to, l'madnu l'tlesh shetaon shishu, we learn from this that the sheep of the Tamid requires 6 Kohanim to bring its parts to the ramp. Rabbi Elazar was bothered by the following difficulty. The above pasuk is discussing the old offering brought from cattle, which requires 24 Kohanim to carry their parts. Rabbi Elazar then resolved the difficulty himself, that the pasuk concludes, ala etzim etshala esh ashala ha-mizbeach, on the wood that's on the fire that's on the Mizbeach. Since these words are superfluous, since the previous pasuk mentioned them as well, they must come to teach regarding a matter where they play a significant role. This must be a reference to the sheep of the Tamid. Rashi explains that even if the previous day's arrangement is still burning, a new arrangement must be made for the Tamid. So the children who joyously blew their kazoos when they saw their non-Kohen Tati skin and dismember an offering were hushed by 6 Kohanim carrying parts of the Tamid, who heard them all night blowing when their father put wood on the maracha. Which reminds us, Rabbi Zera objected to a ruling said in the name of Yochanan, that Zar Shesidr as a maracha chayiv, A non-kun arranged the wood on the maracha is chayev, referring to misbidei shemayim. Rav Yizera said, "V'ki yeshcha avoda shekasher b'layv b'sul bazar." Do you ever find an avoda that's valid if it's performed at night, and yet it's invalid if it's performed by a zar? Since the arrangement of the wood on the maracha can be done at night, it should not require a kohen. The Gemara objects to Rav Yizera's assumption because of two reasons, and each one is refuted. The Gemara concedes that Rav Yizera's assumption stands and amends Rabbi Yochanan's statement to zar shesider shnei gezira eitzim chayev. A non-kohen who arranged the two blocks of wood on the maracha is chayev, referring to misbidei shemayim, due to it being a daytime avoda. Daf chav ches, so the symbol of chav ches is a strong man, koach. So here goes. The strong man, that must be more daf chav ches. The strong man who stood on the roof to see if dawn had arrived, which reminds us, the opening mission of the third parak states, Amar lema mamuna, the administrator, which Rashi defines as a skan kohen gadol, says to the assembled kohanim to go and see if the time of the shkita for the morning tamid had arrived. If it had arrived, the observer would say, barkai, dawn. Masi ben Shmuel says, here, Pnei Kohan Mizrach, the eastern sky has lit up. He would then be asked, Ad Shebe Chevron, as far as Chevron, and he says, yes. Why was this necessary? Because one time, the moon's light rose over the horizon close to morning, and they thought the east had lit up from the sun. And so they shechted the tamid, behotzi'u abesis reifa, but then had to take it out to the place of burning. So the strong man who stood on the roof to see if dawn had arrived saw an elder in yeshiva tell his loyal servant, which reminds us, Rabbi Chama Rabbi Chanina said, Mimein Shabbosenu Aparshi Yeshiva Man. From the days of our forefathers, yeshivas did not depart from them. He learns from the presence of the Zakenim, of the elders in Mitzrayim in the Midbar, that yeshivas were present there. He continues that Avram Avinu was an elder sitting yeshiva, as it says, Avram Zaken Babi Yamim. Avram was a Zaken well on in years. And Psukim were also brought to prove that Yitzhak and Yaakov were also elders who sat in yeshivas. And Eliezer, the Eved Avram, was also a Zaken sitting in yeshiva. As it's written, Yomer Avram El Avdo Zaken Beiso HaMoshe B'Kol Asher Lo. Avram said to his servant, the elder of his household, who controlled all that was his. Rabbi Elazar expanded the end of the pasuk of Moshe B'Kol Asher Lo, who controlled all that was his, to mean Shemoshe B'Torah's Rabbo, that Eliezer had dominion over the Torah of his master. He also interprets the words Hu Domestic Eliezer to mean Shado Umashke B'Torahso Shel Rabbo L'Acherim, that Eliezer drew from the Torah of his master and gave it to others to drink. Rashi explains that the word domestic is an anagram of the words Dola Umashke. He draws and gives a drink. So the strong man who stood on the roof to see if dawn had arrived saw an elder in yeshiva tell his loyal servant to set up an Erev Tavshilin, which reminds us. Rav said, Kiyim Avram Avinu Kol HaTorah Kula, Avram Avinu fulfilled the entire Torah, as it says, Ekav Asher Shama Avram V'Koli, Bishmar Mishmarti, Mitzvosai Chukosai V'Sorosai. Because Avram obeyed my voice and observed my safeguards, my commandments, my statutes, my laws. Rav said, and some say it was Ravashi, Kiyim Avram Avinu Afil Eruv Tavshilin, Avram Avinu fulfilled even the Rabbanan of Eruv Tavshilin, as is written the Pasuk Torosai, my laws, in the plural, Achaz Torah Shebiksav, V'Achaz Torah Shebal Peh, which indicates both the written law and the oral law. Dav Chavtes, so the symbol Chavtes is a cot. So here goes. The prince is lying on the cot. Cot? That must be more Dav Chavtes. The prince is lying on the cot, surrounded by meat roasting on broken pieces of cement, which reminds us, Rav Nachman made several statements and included a sim for each one. Two of them were, Yihuri Aver Kashume Avera, V'simanech Recha Debisra, thoughts of sin are worse than sin, and the simon is the aroma of roasting meat. Rashi explains that the smell of roasting meat is very disturbing to someone who can't eat it. And the second statement was, Migmar Ba'atikata Kash Mechadasa V'simanech Tina Bartina. Relearning old forgotten material is harder than acquiring new knowledge. And the simon is cement made from old cement. Rashi explains that it's hard to make cement by crumbling and reconstituting an old cement wall than by crumbling fresh dirt. So the prince is lying on the cot surrounded by meat, roasting on broken pieces of cement, woke up in the morning. Which reminds us, Ravasi said, Laman Nimshal Esther L'Shachar. Why is Esther compared with the morning? Rashi brings the Gemara Megillah that Esther said the capital of Lamnatzech al Ayelus HaShachar when she reached the chamber of idols to speak to Achashverosh. Lomar Ocham HaShachar Sof Kol Laila Af Esther Sof Kol Nisim. To tell you that just as the morning is the end of the entire night, so too the redemption wrought by Esther is the end of all the miracles. When Gemara asks, well, what about the miracle of Hanukkah that occurred after Purim? Nit Nalichtov Kamrin. We meant to say that Purim is the last miracle allowed to be recorded as part of Tanakh. So the prince is lying on the cot surrounded by meat, roasting on broken pieces of cement, woke up in the morning and saw the kamitza she did at night being burned up as well. Which reminds the Mishnah taught that an animal offering that was shechted at night was invalid and required burning. The father of Rabbi Avin taught a brisa that said, Malika Za'ov Kamitzas Mincha Bilal Tisarif. Also, the Malika of a bird or the kamitza of a mincha that was performed at night must be burned. The Gemara asks, well, it's understandable that a bird ola that was nipped at night must be burned because it's already been nipped and therefore there's no way to reverse the process. Why should the chometz be burnt? Let the kohen return the flour to the pan containing the rest of the mincha and then take a new chometz at daytime. Rabbi Yavin's father explained, Kli Sharis mekadshin afil shel bezmano. A Kli Sharis consecrates an offering even not at its proper time. Therefore, once the chometz was placed in the Kli Sharis, even at night, it can no longer be returned to the rest of the mincha. When this teaching is challenged based on a brayza that teaches that anything offered by day is sanctified by day, but not at night, the Gemara answers that the chometz is not sanctified regarding being able to offer it, but it's sanctified enough to become invalid. The Gemara further clarifies that the ton of the brayza holds, Laila ein mechusar zman, that the time frame of night doesn't render something premature, since the night begins the day in Jewish law, whereas yom mechusar zman, the time frame of day, does render something premature if it's to be done the following day. Daf Lamed, so the Simur Daf Lamed is a Melamed, a Rebbe. So here goes. The very Holy Rebbe. Holy Rebbe, that must mean Ron Daf Lamed, Melamed. The very Holy Rebbe installed a 12-spout washing station outside the bathroom for his Talmidim to wash their hands. Which reminds us, the Mishnah stated the general rule, Kol Matum Maim Tom Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim. Anyone who urinates requires sanctification of his hands and feet, referring to washing from the kir. The Gemara asks, while it's understandable that the feet must be washed, Mishum Nisotzos, because droplets of urine fall on them, what's the reason one needs to wash his hands? Rabbi Abba said this ruling indicates mitzvah l'shapshef, that there's a rabbanim mitzvah to rub off any droplets of urine with one's hands. Since the hands become unclean through this, they too must be washed. Rabbi Abba's explanation supports Rabbi Abba's statement that it's forbidden for a person to go out in public with droplets of urine on his feet, because it'll appear like a person with a cup member, and I'll cast aspersions on his children that they're mamzerim. So the very Holy Rebbe installed a 12-spout washing station outside the bathroom for his talmidim to wash their hands, and insisted they bring signed notes that they went to the mikveh before entering class each day, which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, no person may enter the Azorah to do the Avodah even if he is Tahor until he immerses himself in a mikveh. Ben Zoma was asked why Kohen needs to do the Tefillah even if he's Tahor, and he answered that regarding the Kohen Gadol Yom Kippur, if one who switches from one holy place in Yom Kippur to another holy place, and from a place of Karis punishment to another place of Karis punishment, Tohen Tefillah requires Tefillah, then is it not a Kol V'Chomer that one who switches on any day Mechol HaKodesh from a non-sacred place, meaning his home, to a sacred place, the base of Mikdash, and from a place where there is no Karis punishment to a place where there is a Karis punishment, should require tefillah? Rabbi Yehuda disagreed and said, Srach tefillah hizo. This is only a reminder tefillah, so that one will recall any old tumah that's upon himself and stop from entering the temple. So the very Holy Rebbe installed a 12-spout washing station outside the bathroom for his talmidim to wash their hands, and insisted they bring signed notes that they went to the mikveh before entering class each day, even if one was a metzora, which reminds us. The Gemara sought to reconcile conflicting braises. In the first braise, Rav Yehuda holds that a metzora does not need to do tevilah on the day of his purification because he'd already immersed the previous evening. The second braise asks what the purpose was for the lishkas of Mitzrayim, and it answers that there the Mitzrayim would immerse themselves before inserting their thumbs and toes into the Azorah. And Rav Yehuda says that not only would Mitzrayim immerse there, rather all people immerse themselves before entering the Azorah. This contradicts the first braise, where Rav Yehuda states that the metzora is not required to immerse himself on the eighth day. So the Gemara answers that the first braise refers to where he immersed the previous day, al das bias mikdash, for the intended purpose of entering the base of mikdash. The second braise is where he did not, and the tefillah only purified him from the tumah of tzaras. And two more answers are given. All right, now it's time to conclude the pop quiz of 10 questions plus 3 bonus questions from previous maseches. Number 1. Which daf do you know that two kohanim brought the Shnei Gezirei Eitzim for the afternoon tamid? That's on daf Chavav. Good. Number 2. Which daf do that six kohanim brought the parts of the tamid up to the ramp? That's on daf Chav Zayin. Good. Number 3. Which daf do that the Mishnah that says the Kohen Gadol did one kiddush at the first tevila does not go according to Rabbi Meir, who says he did two? That's on daf Lamed Aleph. Good. Number 4. Which daf do that a kmitza that was done at night is burned and cannot be returned to the flour because the Kli Sharis was mekadesh it? That's on daf Chavtes. Good. Number 5. Which daf do we learn that a linen sheet was used when the Kohen Gadol went to the mikveh to remind him the avodah of the day was done in big day boots? That's on daf Lamed Aleph. Good. Number 6. Which daf do we learn that they would check to see if the zman of the shechita had arrived because one time they confused the light with the light of the moon? That's on daf Chavches. Good. Number 7. Which daf do we learn that relearning forgotten materials like making cement from broken pieces of cement? That's on daf Chavtes. Good. Number 8. Which daf we have Malchus ben Zaman Rabbi Yehuda whether a tahor immersing before entering the Azara is a deraisa chiv or just a srach tvila? That's on daf Lamed. Good. Number 9. Which daf we learned that the spring of Ein Eitam, which supplied water to the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippurim, was a little more than 23 amos higher than the Azara floor? That's on daf Lamedov. Good. Number 10. Which stuff do you learn that Avraham Avinu kept the entire Torah, even the Rabban, such as a Ruby Tav Shilin? That's on Dav. Chavkas. Good. And now the three bonus questions. Number 1. Which stuff do we have in Malkos regarding the baking process of the Minchas Chavitin? That's on Dav. Chaf and Shkolim. Good. Number 2. Which stuff do you learn that one who says David Melch sinned is mistaken? That's on Dav. Nun Vav and Shav is good. And number 3, which stuff do you learn about Birchas HaChama? That's on Daf. Nun Tes and Brachas. Excellent. That concludes the pop quiz. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldman Zichru wishing you a great day and great learning.